40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. China is unhappy with the U.S. this morning after an F-22 fighter jet shot down a suspected spy balloon yesterday off the Carolina coast. CBS's Lucy Kraft reports from Tokyo.
China's foreign ministry declared strong dissatisfaction and protest after its giant balloon was shot down by a U.S. missile. Beijing labeled the use of force an overreaction and argues this balloon was a civilian aircraft that strayed into U.S. territory by accident. China has not commented on Pentagon reports of a second balloon hovering over Latin America.
Evacuation orders remain in place this morning in East Palestine, Ohio, after a train derailment Friday night caused a large fire. National Transportation Safety Board member Michael Graham.
About 50 cars were involved in the derailment, 20 of which contain hazardous materials.
A collision between two large planes was narrowly averted at the airport in Austin, Texas yesterday morning. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
The Southwest Airlines plane was cleared for takeoff as an air traffic controller also gave the go-ahead for the FedEx 767 cargo plane to land. According to a statement from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FedEx pilot discontinued the landing and initiated a last-second climb-out to avoid a collision.
Despite the dangerous cold in the Northeast and New England, the mail is getting delivered, and people are appreciative, says Dan Reed in Central New York State.
People are always saying thank you, and I can't believe you're out here, and you're doing great, and you know that. It's nice to hear that.
Recorded at the top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire yesterday, a record-setting wind chill of minus 108 degrees Fahrenheit. Federal food assistance benefits for tens of millions of Americans will shrink significantly this month, and food banks are preparing, says CBS's Jim Krasula.
Managers of the nation's food banks expect record demand this month. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits are cut.
We worry that we'll see a tidal wave of need.
Eric Cooper is CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank in Texas. The benefits are being cut after Washington gave all SNAP recipients the maximum monthly benefit during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Tens of thousands of Israelis braved heavy rain yesterday for a fifth week of nationwide protests over judicial reform plans by the new government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Protester Shai Spiegelman.
If the people of Israel is not going to do it, people are going to suffer here. People cannot stop. We cannot go back.
The bill ending 24-hour-a-day solitary confinement is close to becoming law in Virginia. The bill passed the Virginia House unanimously last week, 99-0. This week, it heads to the Senate, where passage is expected. From there, it goes to the desk of the governor. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere. Here's what you need to know. Federal aid for food benefits ends this month. Food pantries already seeing an increase in demand because of the high price of food and gas. Officials worry the loss of the additional money will put an added strain on food pantries. The loss to federal aid will disproportionately affect some seniors living on a fixed income who've been getting the maximum allotment of $281. That help for food will soon drop to the minimum of $23 a month. $164 million. That's what was spent on Wisconsin's 2022 governor's race by candidates and outside groups. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says that broke the previous record of $93 million spent in 2018. Executive Director Matt Rothschild called the total shocking and tells WPR part of the reason the governor's race raked in so much money is that campaigns in Wisconsin have become nationalized. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation, too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
It's not a- Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. You horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake, always streaming at WAUK.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It is Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I feel like I'm sitting down after a cyclone blew through here. I was listening to you and Gilbert. That was great. Really good. Really great show. Different. I mean, it's not like Sandy Williams and Gilbert Brown. We are two different people.
Well, you know, the thing about Gilbert is it's going to be, you're going to follow Gilbert's way of things.
Gilbert's story.
He's an entertaining guy.
The story he was telling about having goals.
Yeah.
Is like fundamental. And I think it's like your Voice of the Elders thing is all about that same thing, you know, teaching people. But young people, all young people, I think, have this thing to learn, which is that they have to learn how to envision a future and then shoot for it and take the necessary steps, make the sacrifices to get there.
You know, Sandy, the correlation between athletics and discipline in one's life, especially young boys and young girls too, the earlier you can marriage those two,
yeah,
you know, the better chances of that success. Because many people look at athletics as, well, it's a game. Those are games, right? You haven't coached all these years believing that it's just a game, right? It's not that. It's much more than that. And those of us who have been involved in coaching or any of those kind of things know the impact that has in younger people's lives.
Well, absolutely. You know, the thing that you can learn quickly about athletics is no one can do it until they do it. And no one can do it well until they do it with discipline and hard work. You know, no one is a natural three-point shooter. Some people are better natural athletes.
Right.
But you don't learn how to shoot a three-point basketball shot without taking thousands of shots in the backyard and at the playground and whatever. And so, you know, all these people who we get to see the end result of see excellence in athletics, we should understand, and kids understand, I think, that it takes a lot of work to get from here to there.
You know, Sandy, I don't care if it's ice skating or if it's tobogganing or whatever it is. All of it, commitment, sacrifice.
Yeah.
And if you do those things, you can improve, right? I mean, there are a few people who are natural born athletes, but I think the self-made guy, only a handful of them.
Right. You know, I think it's like weightlifting. Anybody who weightlifts gets stronger. And it's like math. Anyone who does their math homework gets better at it. And so this stuff translates throughout life. And so I think that's the great thing about children's sports is what they learn about effort and results, and they can learn it in school as well, and training in school translates to sports and vice versa. So I think it's, you know, Gilbert's makes a lot of fun of all this stuff, but I think when he spoke seriously about that, it's a real important lesson.
There's no question that it can change one's life, and especially, it doesn't matter whether it's somebody who comes from a well-to-do background or someone who comes from poverty. Athletics has its place in the society, and I think is there securely, and it'll always be a part of the development of young people. But I want to go here, Sandy. In the congressman, Republicans want to be able to carry their firearms in Congress. Actually on the floor.
Yeah, in fact, I think that woman had she's secured the approval.
Yes.
To carry her firearm onto the floor, which, that's an important place to have a weapon.
why is that?
I don't know. I mean, what in the world rationale, other than the fact that she, I suppose next January 6th that happens, the question will be, I suppose, which side will she take?
Sandy.
The next insurrection, which side does that person take with their firearm?
It is just the height of insanity. All of this time, that's never been the case. And then one person comes in, and she's only feels comfortable with that gun strapped on her hip.
They learned a lesson. This was in the 1840s or 50s. When the Massachusetts senator got caned almost to death by a fellow senator who had a cane. It wasn't a pistol. It was a cane, and it's a famous caning institute. Getting beaten with a cane in the chambers. And so, gosh, just what would happen if Ms. Boebert got irate in the same manner?
Sandy, things just don't seem to make any sense. That's an issue that just doesn't make any sense. The fact that, we're talking about it, and the fact that it's out there just goes to show you cannot talk about it because it's nonsensical. It is news, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that it's been okayed just goes to show how far we've come. That there aren't enough people who would say, hey, I don't want you in here. You've got Secret Service.
Well, no, I think it shows how wacky we've gotten about the Second Amendment. People are afraid to stand up and say no to anyone who's talking about some right to have a gun.
That has to be what it is, then.
Well, it is. I mean, it's like no one's willing to stand up and be counted against it. It's like what we were talking about on last Friday on the socialism resolution. Nobody was willing to vote against the proposition that socialism was a bad thing. So everyone had to vote for it. Now if someone asked to carry a gun, you can't go on record saying no.
So the balloon, Sandy, the balloon that...
I was going to talk about the balloon.
So here's what I want to ask you.
We should talk in really high voices, as if we've had helium, Okay, I think that's what's happened to the people about that balloon.
Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
Little Marco, as Donald Trump called him, and others. And Donald and Joe Biden has been ridiculed because he didn't do something.
Well, he didn't shoot it down right away. Now, first of all... Everybody who stands back from this says basically that, like, the whole balloon thing has been, this is kind of a pun, blown out of proportion. Because it was a balloon, and whatever kind of reconnaissance it can do is not materially different than whatever can be done by the satellites, which China certainly has, which can carry out all kinds of surveillance. About the only thing a balloon can do is is sense chemicals in the atmosphere that couldn't be sensed by a satellite. If, in fact, this was not a weather balloon like China is now asserting, we're going to find out, I think, whether it's a weather balloon, because we're going to find its pieces. And unless China was able to simply erase it remotely, which is altogether possible, that they would be able to erase the computer memory in it, we'll find out what it was for. But this is a mountain out of a molehill, I'm quite sure. And I think most of the experts I saw, an ex-CIA operative on a television show, saying just exactly that, that, wow, you know, this is an exaggerated problem. And now China seems to be wanting to exaggerate the question of whether it was somehow a hostile act on the part of the United States to shoot their balloon down.
This is outrageous. This is outlandish, is the cry, right?
Yes.
The hue and cry. But I would say, Sandy, to that, we're spying on China all the time.
Absolutely.
China knows it. They spy on us.
And we know it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are these people talking about?
And like I said on Friday, spying on one another isn't altogether bad, because we can get comfort from the proposition that the other side is not doing something that suggests that they are trying to endanger us, right? So we've been drawing comfort from the fact that in our surveillance of Russia, which is, I'm sure, intense, okay, we are determining that they're not doing anything to take action with respect to their nuclear weapons that would suggest they're going to use them. Okay, so that now we're drawing comfort from surveillance. So surveillance isn't altogether a bad thing, and we all do it.
You know, Sandy, the more I kept hearing the constant griping, Joe Biden is blowing it. What do they want him to do, send nuclear weapons over to China?
Well, the goofy thing is that the dispute over the balloon shows how very petty we've become, and how it is that the other side can't do the right thing. They're arguing that he should have shot it down right away, and he shouldn't have waited to shoot it down until it got over the water. I don't know what the profound difference is between, you know, what was going to happen as the balloon traversed from one place to another. But it's silliness, and the silliness is simply the necessity that one side criticize the other. It no matter what, if you say orange, I'll say pink. You know, we can't agree even on anything.
You know, Sandy, the real horrific part about all of this is people never gave it real thought, right? If you would have given it real thought, so why would you run the risk of shooting it down over land? It's going to fall somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And even the missile or whatever it is we use.
The missile is going to fall somewhere,
yes.
Too.
And so you couldn't even think about that part of it. You just had to say this is because Joe Biden is incompetent. And it doesn't mean that we are anti-American. Sometimes people just don't even use any common sense. It's so political that every little thing. You know, we can't agree as Americans that, well, they shot it down, that's a good thing, right? Well, it should have been shot down, you know, when we first saw it, not knowing any of those things. But listen, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 36. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 33. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I still am sometimes just not believing in just how crazy things are. Senator Ted Cruz was asked about term limits on last Friday. And Ted Cruz said, I believe in term limits, right? I really do. I believe it's the best thing that can happen. Just not right now.
Just not while I'm a senator.
Yeah, and because he's getting ready to run for his third term. And so to even you sometimes wonder that Ted Cruz is not a dumb guy. I mean, he's a bright man. But when he's asked a question like that, and to double speak and think that maybe people aren't going to understand it. But what sense does it make to say, yeah, I support term limits, but just not right now, knowing you're running for your third term?
Well, Ted Cruz, I don't know.
Whatever happened to him, man?
Well, at birth? Or what are you saying?
Well, he certainly evolved.
Well, he evolves. He's kind of a chameleon in that regard because he changes his colors. You know, when he was running for president and Donald Trump was treating he and his wife and his father very, very badly and personally, he was taking great umbrage at it. Then when he decided that he needed to curry Donald Trump's favor, he became his altar boy. And so, yeah, he evolves, but it's not very pretty.
So let me ask you about term limits. Term limits. Do I think that it's a good thing that a senator gets 12 years and maybe a congressperson gets, every 2 years?
6 years.
Yeah. No, look, congressperson gets what, 2 years or 4 years?
They get 2 years.
Two years.
Congressmen are elected every cycle.
Yeah, so the most, if they do two terms, they can do 4 years. I don't think that makes sense. To change everything inside of 4 years may not be the best thing, right?
Well, I think the problem with term limits is that it's a cynical view that experience means nothing, and experience doesn't mean nothing. You know, experience is important. People need to learn how to do their job, unless the job doesn't require anything but raw instinct. And clearly, to do the job well requires more than that. So I don't think it's wrong for people to be in office more than two terms. What I think is wrong is for people to be in office only to be in office. And that's what's happened, I think. And that's why we've become cynical about it, because so many of the politicians behave as if the only thing that's important for them is to get reelected. And what they do during their period in office is dark. We can't list the benefits that accrue to the people as the result of someone being in office for multiple terms if they don't do anything with their time. And I think the way politics is set up now, the way Tom from L.A. would describe it, dialing for dollars, but that's pretty much what politicians seem to be spending their time on, is dialing for dollars for their reelection. And if it isn't dialing for dollars, which would be the best case, it might be talking to lobbyists and otherwise having PAC funding and getting themselves reelected that way. And so, you know, I think it's confusing. It's hard to figure out how to solve for this. My view is that this new amendment that's been proposed to get rid of Citizens United would go a long way. If we could get money out of politics, then politicians could serve multiple terms, and they would only get served multiple terms based on the merits of what they do in their term, because they would get reelected on their merits. Now they seem to get reelected based on funding.
You know, Sandy, it's a sweetheart deal. You know, once you get connected politically in Washington, you know, Congress or Senate, who would want to give that up? I mean, Dianne Feinstein is, you know, she's the two senators who died in the seat 100 years. Wait, what? One Republican, one Democrat.
Jesse Helms. Yeah.
About 98, 99.
Well, Dianne Feinstein's right up there herself.
And then there was the Democratic senator, was a Republican for many years. He switched over and was about 96, 97 years old as a Democrat, who retired from the Senate, but or died in the seat. But enough. You really do have to have some limits. It makes no sense that one person could be there as long as Dianne Feinstein. She certainly is in no position cognitively to be dealing with that kind of business. You could actually argue the same thing about Joe Biden and the presidency. I mean, I tell people all the time, here's a man who is going to be 90...
No.
I mean, 82.
He'll be 82 when he gets elected, 86 at the end of the second term. And I just read that there was a poll, and well over half of Democrats do not want, you know, even if they favor how he's doing, they don't want him to run for reelection for this very reason, that, you know, the potential infirmity of Joe Biden in office is, and why would we not want to elect someone younger with a bigger future and more energy?
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News brief. Why didn't the U.S. shoot down that suspected Chinese spy balloon earlier in the week? CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Pentagon told the president that doing so over the continental United States would be a great risk to American people and infrastructure. So the White House says the president directed the military to make a plan to take it down over U.S. waters.
Thousands of residents of East Palestine, Ohio, are in shelters this morning after a train derailment Friday night. Some cars contained hazardous materials. Resident Tammy Everson.
It was very scary because we honestly didn't know what was going to happen to this town.
Tens of thousands of Israelis braved heavy rain yesterday to protest for a fifth week against a proposal to weaken the judiciary's ability to block some government actions. Lawyers and some business leaders fiercely oppose the plan. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. What a busy time this has been for Republicans to lay out their vision, their priorities, and plans. In Tennessee, that includes a bill with a 6-year prison term for performing in multiple drag shows. In Florida, during Black History Month, they're making progress in banning the ability to teach freely about Black history. They're also banning books. In Arkansas, they're banning words. In Missouri, they're banning women in the legislature from having bare shoulders. And in Wisconsin, they blocked a ban on child torture known as conversion therapy. Across the 50 states, more than 200 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced. And the debt ceiling debate threatens to wreck the economic recovery, but Republicans won't say what they would cut. What's missing? Anything about your economic situation, the thing they said over and over last year, would be their focus. It was never going to be. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
We've mentioned, inflation is going to be an issue. Let me ask you this. What would you like to see Donald Trump do if you were here? What did you suggest Biden do to address the inflationary pressures we're facing right now?
Well, I can't tell you that because that would be something you could counter and defeat Trump with or the Republican Party. So tell you.
You think Trump's taking strategy from you on talk radio, Lou?
I mean, you're no Kid Rock, Lou.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Good morning, Sandy Williams. With Earl Ingram, Earl's going to be off for about 15 minutes here, and so I'm going to field the show. I'm not going to be Gilbert Brown. Some of you were listening for the first hour, and the difference between Gilbert Brown and I is country mile, I suspect. And Gilbert's a lot of fun. I try to be fun sometimes, but we've got more serious things to talk about. When we went to the break, we were talking about term limits and about Joe Biden in office and whether Joe was, aged out, was the cheddar cheese 25 years old instead of 20 and had gone beyond the point of high value. and I think what we forget when we look at the presidential office is the president is a figurehead for a team. And what you're really electing is a team. And I think we in America put far too much value on who that face is and too little value on what is the team behind that face and what will they accomplish? Because, the one thing that Biden can do right now is list some pretty good things that the administration seems to have accomplished. And what we should be thinking about is the administration. And administrations are what we're electing. We're electing the various secretaries of all the different departments. We're also electing the staff and the people who are funneling proposals up into the political process to be considered. And when you look at what the table is, how the table has been set for today, we can see that actually things are going all right. The economy, all of us have been talking about the recession that's imminent. And yet this last month we had 570,000 new jobs. Maybe that's worrisome to the Fed because the Fed's trying to tamp down inflation, which incidentally they are tamping down with some effectiveness. It looks like, as we've been talking about on this show for some time, inflation has been driven by shortages and not maybe by a basic underlying cause for inflation, in spite of the fact that we've had very large deficits and we've carried out some governmental processes which could fuel inflation. It appears that inflation really was driven in large part by shortages, and as those shortages get solved, we find ourselves able to dampen the price pressure, the upward pressure. In the housing market, where the Fed really does hold sway, they seem to have been effective. They've raised interest rates. Housing prices have cooled. The rate of increase has cooled. And so what do we have? We have an economy that seems to be continuing on a very strong course. And you have to give credit to the administration and the administration that's behind that. So, negative talk about whether we want Joe Biden to run for office again isn't, however, negative talk about the administration and how the administration is done. And furthermore, when you're electing an administration, you're also electing something that relates to foreign affairs. And unfortunately, I think for us Americans, what we don't hear in the discussion is very much talk about foreign affairs. We get a way overinflated kind of discussion about spy balloons. Now they're finding spy balloons over Latin America. Whether these are weather balloons that have run amok or just what exactly they are, but apparently China does have balloons that have been let loose in the atmosphere and are being found in various places. But how much of a problem is this? I'm not sure it is a problem. And so Earl and I can spin out about various issues. And one that I do tend to spin out about a bit is our foreign affairs, because I think while we all tend to accept foreign affairs as a given, something that's given to us, presented to us, we're told what it is we're supposed to believe for the purpose of expressing patriotism and manifesting our patriotic views, the fact is that our foreign affairs have everything to do with our budget, everything to do with how we spend our money, and everything to do with how we prioritize our expenditures. And push is beginning to come to shove in Ukraine, where we have spent a great deal of money. We've dropped in the neighborhood of $100 billion in a year, and without hardly noticing it. In fact, we've had arguments, and the main argument has been whether we spent enough fast enough. It's not been to question exactly the rate at which we should spend it, or why exactly we might be spending it. And you have a call? Okay, great. We've got a call, I guess. I can't hear the call. I'm not getting it.
Hey, Dave, you're on. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay, I got you now. Who's the, right. Who's the caller?
I yeah. just want
to, it's a Dave from Equan.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
All right. Really quickly, I just want to mention to you, Sandy. So 6 days ago, there was a survey conducted by the Lending Club, and what they found out was at the end of this past December, 51% of Americans are making $100,000 or more, are living paycheck to paycheck. So one of the reasons why, and I can attest to this, I'm actually doing more work now. I've actually hired, I'm actually working with another company in addition to doing my own work because of inflation. And I think there's this misnomer thinking, well, the economy is doing great. It's doing well from the standpoint that there's a lot of jobs available, but the flip side is a lot of people that were planning on retiring cannot retire now because their 401ks have been devastated. And because of inflation, you said that you mentioned about the shortages, but it also comes down to monetary policy, where the Fed for far too long had, you know, where you could get a loan for next to nothing, and you had a lot of cash floating around out there. And that was due to the fact that, you know, people were worried, well, you know, we got to increase inflation up to 2%, and we weren't even at 2%. And if you remember, it was supposed to be only transitory. That was a key word. And the thing is, I think going forward, as China opens up their economy, and obviously there's some supply chain issues are going to go away, but it's the volume of consumption that's going to drive that up from China. So we're quite far from out of the woods.
Well,
as inflation, like I said, the $100,000
well, I think
your salary,
the $100,000
paycheck to paycheck,
$100,000 is above the median income. The median income most recently measured for the United States, I think, was $74,500. But what you've said is exactly coincident with what I've presented earlier on shows, which is if you look at the budget of Americans, Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're living paycheck to paycheck at a levels above $100,000. I think that there was a Wall Street Journal article that suggested that families living, because you tend to move into housing that is more comfortable, and the housing then consumes a big percentage of your income, and you still end up living paycheck to paycheck, even at higher income levels. And however, we were living paycheck to paycheck before this inflationary condition began a year and a half ago. And we were living paycheck to paycheck because, not because of inflation, but because of these ancillary expenses that American families now experience, which they didn't used to experience, a very primary one being health care. And health care insurance premiums that used to become in the form of benefits at work and no longer do for many workers, and particularly workers who are in the 100,000 and below level, who are either running small businesses themselves or are working for someone else on an hourly wage basis. And most families that are earning $100,000 have two breadwinners, and the single breadwinners in that family are earning, you know, no more than $55,000 a year. And so, you know, you end up with a much different circumstance. I think if we blame that on, if we blame the paycheck to paycheck problem on inflation, we're missing the problem. Okay. There is inflation, and inflation has obviously exacerbated the situation. You mentioned 401ks being decimated. Well, they haven't been decimated. The stock market drop has been material, but it hasn't been something that has decimated. The answer to that is that 401ks weren't going to be adequate. Okay. The whole 401k notion hasn't panned out because people who have saved money, even at the maximum level for 401ks, if you do the math, it works out that they don't really secure for themselves a comfortable retirement that looks anything like the lifestyle they were living before they retired. So you're right. Middle America is experiencing problems. Middle America is not sharing in the prosperity. I would assert, however, that an important way for middle America to improve their lot would be to have Medicare for all, to have universal daycare, and to have education that would be handled in the same manner that is in most other countries, which is that it's basically free as long as you qualify for the education that you're taking. And if you did all those things, I think we'd find that these families would be a lot more comfortable.
Well, I'm going to have to diverge from you in that point, only because if you look at what families are doing, the ones that are, you know, upper, I would say, you know, above medium income, what they're doing is you're seeing the biggest geographical shift of population to the south. And you see people say, well, they're going for the weather. Well, if that was the case, California would have the largest migration of any state. Now, granted, it's the most populous state, but it's also lost the biggest percentage of any state of any of the 50 states as far as percentage-wise this last decade. And it's continued. And when they're moving to our states that are more affordable, and when I say more affordable, they're going to places like Tennessee, they're going to places like Texas, they're going to places like Florida. You look at the amount of people moving from the East Coast. Even Connor, he admitted it last week. Connor left Chicago because it's unaffordable to live there. Yeah, it's unaffordable to live there.
Yes, but all those places you've listed, including what Connor was saying, are basically unaffordable because of housing costs. And they're unaffordable because of there is a very substantial disparity region to region in both housing costs and the percentage of disposable income that families are forced to pay for housing costs. And there's no question that people have migrated from places of very high housing costs, particularly when they retire and they're trying to avoid fixed costs, high fixed costs that would offset their fixed incomes. And so, you've identified a problem that has to do with housing, but housing costs. And incidentally, the fly up in housing costs was being experienced under the prior administration, certainly as much as it has been under the current administration. In fact, the need to put high interest rates in place to fight inflation have done a lot to curtail the fly up in housing costs that we had been experiencing. Thanks for the call, Dave. I think we have another call. We've got Tom from L.A.
Yeah, we do, but we're about to go to a break right now.
All right, well, right after the break, we'll talk to you, Tom.
As the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003,
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram,
Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 36. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 33. Cloudy skies expected. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow highs around 38. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Show, Sandy Williams and Earl Ingram. I think we've got Tom from L.A. on the line. Tom, we're back from break. What's the...
Hey, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. That includes all of us. I don't know if Dave realizes how many people are actually in L.A., but we have 10 million people alone in L.A. County. That dwarfs most of other states, period. So I don't know why it is that he keeps on going after L.A. Or California.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I think conservatives, for some reason, believe California is the enemy and have sort of described California in the same manner that they describe China or some other place that they find.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. They really do, where they don't realize it, but all of the blue states, you know, he's talking about the red states. Well, the red states take more money than they bring in taxes. So it's places like Wisconsin, it's places like California that actually are bailing out these red states when they have problems. And they're the ones that use more tax dollars than anybody else. So, you know, it's again, hypocrisy, which they are the hypocritical party. I really believe that. And I think we need to get back to what you talk about, Sandy, which is, and it's really made a big difference in my life. And I've tried telling Chris Larson and a few other people that they need to put out the whiteboard and go 16, 16, 16, 16. That's 64,000. And most people are making 60,000 as a two household, one child, household. So what my question is to these conservatives is, what do they expect people to do? That's the part I don't get.
Yeah.
They talk and talk and talk, but they never talk about a solution. Just like the media, they want to find that shiny object for people to look at, literally a balloon. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's a big con by everyone in what should be we the people government and the media to take people's eyes off the fact that, you know, let's get back to the actual nuts and bolts of this thing, which is how are we going to solve for the fact that most people don't make over 64 grand a year? And that's even before food.
Right.
And other things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think,
how do we solve that problem?
I think as Dave, I don't think it's done purposefully, but I think people who are angry with government and want there to be less government want to look at every problem and then, without connecting the dot in any specific way, want everyone to assume that the reason that problem exists is because government has created that problem. So,
and what's so crazy about it, Sandy, is we the people are the government.
Yeah, well, of course, we the people are the government.
I agree with Dave. I'll agree with Dave, because Dave actually is pretty sensible. He's not as crazy as some of them. But I will agree with Dave, but I think we're missing the big thing, which is we bring up all of these, like he called in one day and he was talking about the something at Harvard or whatever it was.
Yeah, the admissions.
How does that affect someone that's making 64 grand a year? How does that affect people's daily lives? I mean, I just find that we continue to vote against our best interest. or they continue to vote against their best interests, which is to have a strong middle class. Luckily, Joe Biden is doing a lot of infrastructure stuff, it sounds like, which never really gets any media press. And he's doing some things out there that are helping unions and helping, you know, the regular working people. They just don't have a communication strategy. I guess Pete Buttigieg was on the shows yesterday, and he did a very good job at communicating, you know, everything that the Biden administration has been up to and doing. But we need more of that. And the thing is, we need for, you know, sensible people like Dave and stuff to realize that, you know what, even if you're making $1 million, you still are making, you are closer to the income of the poorest person on the street than you are to the billionaire class. The billionaire class is only about 400 families.
Well,
and
I think
only about four or five.
Yeah, I think I think what I perceive, and we've got Dave on the line. I think I'll bring him on with us. But I think what I perceive is that people see a problem and state the problem. So, for instance, we've got lots of families living paycheck to paycheck, and parallel to that, we have inflation. So then, without saying more, it's sort of like ipso facto, inflation is causing people to live paycheck to paycheck, when actually an analysis of the budget of those people reveals that the reason they're living paycheck to paycheck might be made worse by inflation, but it isn't at all caused by inflation. And they were experiencing paycheck to paycheck when we were experiencing 2% or less inflation. Dave, can we get Dave on the line,
too? I'd love to know Dave's answer to that, though,
yeah.
Sandy. I'd love to know
sure.
his answer.
Yeah. Dave?
For sure. So thanks for letting me come back here. And to Tom's point, I am aware of, you know, the fact that L.A. has 10 million people. And, yes, when you have more people, there's definitely more resources that need to be applied towards helping people that are not as well-off as, you know, some other people. That being the case, and to your point as well, Sandy, I'm fully aware that there are a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck, you know, prior to this. All I was just saying was that the inflation has made that grown a lot quicker as far as what we see today. That being the case, I'm not comparing California to China or to, you know, anything like that. What I am comparing it, though, to is the fact that if we look at the amount of resources that are spent, and one thing that aggravates me is that California has a water shortage. And one of the things I looked at is, why isn't the state of California looking to the fact that, like the state of Israel, where they have desalinization plants and they've made farming very affordable over there? And California could do the same thing as far as helping the agricultural aspect of things over there in California. That would be my solution to the water situation that we see. We have the water crisis going on with the Colorado River and everything else. And that has an impact on a lot of other things, because that affects our food supply, the water supply.
But we kind of jumped from one subject to the other there. I mean, yes, right. They have a water problem. And yes, the expansion of the population in California was premised on there being more water than appears will be available in the near future. Yes, Israel is using desalination. However, what you don't say is that desalination uses an enormous amount of power. It takes a great deal of electricity to run a desalination plant.
And, yes, it does.
And so, you know, there's a lot of Hobson's choices to be made about how they solve the water problem. Desalination, there were early desalination plants in San Diego, for instance, and California's been on that road. But it's a difficult road, and yes, the West generally expanded beyond their water capacity, and they're going to be paying the piper probably now for a while. Tom, you're on again. What, you must have something more to add to this.
Dave, I just want to ask you a question. What does that family do that has two people, one person, one child, and is making $60,000 a year, but the actual expenses for those four things Sandy talked about are $64,000. What do you say to that?
To an area where the expenses are less. to try to make ends meet, so to speak.
Well, that's, hey, we can come
people
back.
People have more of an ability now to do that.
We're going to break. Ahead. We're going to break, Dave, but we'll come back because I would like you to talk about that because I think that we ought to all as citizens talk about this family that and these families, so many of them who are living like this, and went to realize that they can't solve the problem in by cutting their expenses. We'll be back shortly. Get on up.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.